Good morning, everyone, and welcome, especially our visitors. We thank you for choosing to be here with us this morning. We're going to continue with the lesson that we have that we had ongoing from last week, and the topic of it is elders, talking about the elders. Last week we spoke about being of service to God and how Jesus is the chief shepherd and we are in service to him. And the reason we brought that up is because we as Christians, we are part of the body and we are in service. We serve. And so we'd like to continue with this thought in mind. But before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your love that you have for us. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We ask you to be with us, Father, as we go through this lesson, that we may understand, Father, your word, that we may grow from it, that we may use it in our daily lives. But everything, Father, that we do may be done to your honor and glory, that we may be here, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you once again for all your blessings, Father, the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that you give us in Christ. Thank you, Father, for everything. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the title of the lesson is Elders. And first we're going to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read Titus chapter 1. But before we go there, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I'd like for us to think about this word, because the Apostle Paul tells the church here, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. Now, I see that word vocation, and it's like saying, well, what's your vocation? What do you work at? What do you do? But the way the Apostle Paul is using it here is, when we've obeyed the gospel, we are what? We're Christian. That's the vocation that he's talking about here. And so he says, I beseech you, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And all he's saying is, okay, you say you're a Christian, act like a Christian. Show the works of a Christian, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. But then he says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. We've got to think about the church here, the body, because this is what he's going to talk about here, is the body. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are the body. And so he reminds us, and he says, you need to work, or you need to do your service with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. So continue to keep thinking about the body. Christ is the head, we are the body. Is everyone the hand of the body? No. This is what the apostle is explaining. But unto every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And these are the verses that I'd like for us to focus on, because this is what we're talking about this morning. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work and of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So put an elder in this position. The word elder. He says that Christ, God has put everyone in the service that he is able to serve. And this is why he says that he has made some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, this is why God has done this. Christ is the head. We are the body. But the pastors and everything that we do, listen to what verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he's talking about the body. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. If we are members of the Lord's church, we are part of that body. So we need to work together in love, but as elders, we need to take care of the congregation or the church to feed it spiritually, to keep it according to God's, that we walk according to God's will. Now, let's ask the question, what is an elder to you? What does an elder represent? Perhaps if we've never heard that word, we might think, well, word elder means what? An older person, right? But according to scripture here, what is an elder? What's his job? What are the qualifications? And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's go to 1 Timothy. And like I said, here in the book of Ephesians, the reason I wanted to read this is because this is what God has done. He's put each one of us in our place to serve in the capacity that we can serve. Can we all be hands within the church? No. So we need to know our place and how to be of service to the body of Christ, because Jesus Christ is what? Is the head. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So what's the reason why we should have or establish elders within the congregation? What's the purpose of that? Brother Joel.
I think you kind of just spoke to it, like we can't all be hands. There's going to be different roles in the congregation and it all goes to the edification of Christ. So that role helps us as a congregation edify Christ and ensure that we're doing our role as part of that.
Okay. So ask the church, ask the body of Christ, what's our goal? What is our goal?
Well,
We just ask this question. What is our goal? Heaven. I want to get there, and I'm sure that you want to get there, right? So what do we have to do as the body of Christ? He says he uses the word love, patience. So as brothers in Christ, our goal is to get to heaven. I want to get there, and I want, as an elder, help you get to heaven. Yes, ma'am.
Going back to your question about the elders, I went over to Acts 20, verse 28, and it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which ye have purchased with his own blood." So one of the things that the elders do, and with this is called overseers, but it is oversee the flock, to feed the flock.
To oversee. But we could ask the question, what are different names for an elder?
Pastor,
bishop. Elder, bishop,
shepherd.
We see that some of these words that we use have to do with the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep. It makes that comparison, doesn't it? Shepherd. What does a shepherd do with his sheep? He takes care of them, doesn't he? He takes them to green pastures. What do the sheep do? They follow the shepherd. So this is what God is looking for in an elder, to feed the church. Our sister just read Acts chapter 20, and we're going to go there here in a few minutes. But we see we make that comparison as sheep and shepherds. We see several examples in the Bible of men that were shepherds. And we'll talk about one here in just a minute. Yes, sir. Brother Kevin.
What is the task of shepherds? Back in Ephesians 4, where the word pastor is, it's the Greek word koimen. One of the things they say this, the task of a Near Eastern shepherd was to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep, to defend the sheep from attackers, to heal the wounded and sick sheep, and to find, food, water for the sheep. So the idea was the shepherd did all of that for the sheep: protection, watchfulness, guidance, food, water, all of those things. That's what the shepherds do in the church.
Okay, so if we could imagine a shepherd taking care of its flock, its sheep, what does the elder / shepherd do? Take care of the flock. Feed the flock, maintain the flock, and that's why when we read Acts chapter 20, he says, "Feed the flock." Now, does that mean that we have to have a potluck every Sunday? No. What's it talking about? Feed what? God's word. Remind ourselves of God's word, what we need to be doing. Like we said, our main goal is what? Is heaven. That's what we want to do. So let's go to 1 Timothy and let's read the qualifications or what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy what to look for in these men that will be leading the congregation. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to telling Timothy what he needs to do. He says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop," we see here the word bishop, But we could say bishop slash elder slash shepherd. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So we see here what we need to look for when choosing a shepherd, when choosing an elder. What type of man are we looking for? In your own words. We want one that's what? First of all, I think he has to be spiritual, right? Because it's God's word that we have to follow. What else? What other qualifications we need to look for when choosing these men? Husband of one wife. What else? I'm sorry? Able to teach. Why? And this was one of the questions that we asked last week. Why is it necessary to look for men with these qualifications? Why? I asked myself that question. I'm sorry? That's what the Bible says to do. But think about this. These qualifications, that elder or that shepherd is going to have to put these into practice. They're going to come up when you're feeding the sheep. So you're going to need to have these qualifications. Why? Because when someone comes, if a wolf comes within the church, what does the shepherd have to do? Fight off the wolf. Keep the sheep safe. Right? So he has to be a spiritual man. Yes, ma'am.
I was basically going to say the same thing that you just said. If you aren't able to teach, you aren't able to feed the flock. If you aren't able to teach, you aren't able to study and know when the wolf comes and how to defend against it, whether it's physically or of the message.
And I think our brother spoke about this last week, I believe, in his lesson when he spoke about a little leaven. What does it do? Leavens the whole, what is it, dough? So a little bit of sin that comes in can take down, the whole building. Yes, sir. Brother Lee, I'm sorry.
When we look at our example of our Lord and Savior, our shepherd, and the elder exemplifies, when you say, what are we looking for? When we look at it, he's our example to help lead us, lead the flock to do.
So he doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual, but he has to be also an example, doesn't he? A good example to the congregation. What the verses that we just read. He has to be a good person within and without. Brother Luis.
You see, Jesus don't give me an order to follow him, that he first do it. He lived by the blessings, he lived by example. And I don't want to follow somebody who don't have the capacity to lead, you know. I want to follow a person who show qualities or a spiritual name that he can lead you to him.
Okay. So this question always also comes to my mind. Because I would say that the time that I've had with the Southeast congregation, I think we've had to maybe, I want to say three times, had to choose men to lead the congregation. So when we make those choices, and listen to this, it's not a political game. Politics and race should not be a factor within the Lord's church. So that spiritual, that leader, that bishop, this is why the qualifications, because they're going to come to play within your leadership, whether it's inside, within the body, or it's someone else coming in from the outside. Brother Zach.
Yeah, I wanted to say two things, brother. Back in the kingdom, we read,
And we see that in the verses that we read with Timothy, it cannot be a novice. And that's kind of what Brother Zach is alluding to. You know, what's a novice? A new person. Has to be someone that is established in God's word, that is spiritual minded. Someone that's, as we just read, it is a good thing if a man desires the office of a bishop. Why must this elder desire the office of a bishop? How's he going to serve if he has that desire?
He's going to be earnest.
So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying, that person has to desire. Now, I always thought of this word, and I said, okay, well, since childhood or growing up, do we think of becoming deacons or elders? Not necessarily. But the Apostle Paul is saying here, if you desire, you know, to be an elder, the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. Is that what that means? No. It means that when the opportunity arises and you're eligible to serve, you serve what? With all diligence. You give 100%. Now, let's go over to Titus, because Titus also, the Apostle Paul also tells Titus what to look for within the church. Now, one of the questions also was, does the eldership of the Southeast congregation, do they rule over the Lavernia congregation? This is what we're going to see here. This will answer our question. In Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanted and ordain elders in every city." So what does this mean? If he says to ordain elders in every city, that answers that question we just asked. The eldership of the Southeast congregation has no jurisdiction over the Lavernia congregation. And another thought is this. When choosing a leader, choosing an elder, the congregation has to know the shepherd or the elder, has to know the person, so there has to be some kind of knowledge between us before you make a choice and say, okay, well, I think he's a good leader because he dresses nice, or I think he's a good leader because he's good looking. That's not how Scripture tells us to choose our leaders. David, 1 Samuel, I believe it's either chapter 6 or 16 when David, and I'll let you speak here in just a minute, Sister Carmen. When God was looking for another king for Israel, Jesse brought his sons and said, okay, well, you know, these are my sons. The eldest came up and he says, nope, he's not the one. Next one came up, nope. God said, no, that he's not the one. David, he says, don't you have another son? Yeah, David, he's the youngest. He's going to be king. But then Scripture there says that God doesn't look at man the way man does. What does he say? Man looks at man through what? By looks. But God does what? How does God choose these men? By their heart. This is how he chose David. Go ahead, Sister Carmen.
My comment was that we also see Jesus when he's 12, when he's being led with his parents to Jerusalem. He sat down and he was learning from other teachers. So as an elder, you also need to have that mindset that when you're going to teach, you also need to have learned and you also need to teach others. Now, everybody does not learn at the same level. So you need to teach the way people learn. And otherwise, it's going to go into infection, like getting somebody else. If he believes something and I believe something else, and if an elder's not able to correct it, then it will just go and he can go and spread it through the congregation. But also you made a comment that if as children, you don't have the desire to serve as an elder when you're a child, well, I think that goes to training. Because, you know, when my son obeyed the gospel, one of our teachings is you need to learn and grow so that you can serve. We all can't stay in the same place. We have to keep growing and serving at our own capacity.
And this is what the book of Ephesians is teaching us. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. We all can't be the hand. So some serve as elders, some serve as deacons, the minister, and, you know, the we're all Christians in our capacity, but we need to serve, we need to grow. Jesus being, like the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, Jesus being the head of the church and we being the body, but we're working together and grow, maturing in Christ. That's what he's saying there. And I think that's what your comment is as far as Christ and growing up. And so, but the desire here that the Apostle Paul talks about is when you serve, it's like working at a job that you just, you know, you hate the job, you know. What kind of service are you going to offer?
Usually the minimum.
The minimum, right? You're going to be, well, I could show up late. I could, you know, all things. But Scripture teaches us that we as Christians should give 100%. Whether you be the elder, the deacon, you know, the members, we're all the part, the body of Christ, working towards eternal life with God. And so the Apostle Paul, what he does is he's giving us the qualifications and what we need to look for when choosing these leaders. Because what's at stake here? What is at stake when we use, because earlier we were talking about David and how God thinks and says, well, man uses his eyes, but God knows the intent of the heart. This is how God chooses them. When we allow Scripture, when we use God's word to choose this man, then, the Apostle Paul uses this, the Holy Spirit chooses these men. And why it says the Holy Spirit is because we're using God's word to make these choices. And so going back to the question, what's at stake here? When we use our eyes to, I'm sorry?
Your eternal life.
But you know, and this is the word I chose to use. You know what's at stake? People's souls are at stake. Your soul is at stake. So just imagine if you just choose anyone to lead you. Where's he going to lead you to? So this is why the qualifications. Because if he's a spiritual person, a spiritual man, he's going to lead you down the right path, the godly path. Yes, ma'am.
I was thinking about the physical flock and the spiritual flock. With the physical flock, if they're being well fed, you can tell. Sheep need certain vitamins and minerals that they're not always finding out in the grass.
So we can tell by the physical clock if they're not being loved. And you can tell from them. Same way with the spiritual clock. If they are well spiritually and being fed God's word and being given those spiritual vitamins and minerals that they need, you will be able to tell.
And how often do the sheep need to be fed? How often? How many times do we eat? We don't miss the three meals a day, do we? You know? So this is what Scripture is talking about. Feed the sheep. This is what the elders, this is what we look for. As far as the leadership within the church, if we use God's word to make these choices, if we look for a man with one wife, not given to filthy lucre, not a drunkard, all these things. Because we're running out of time. Let's go and read Titus's. What the Apostle Paul tells Titus. Verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless. Now, use this word blameless. Does this mean that he's sinless? No. What does the word blameless mean there? Then. Okay, taking account of the sins for the sins that you have. So think about this also. These spiritual leaders are men, just like you are, just like the sheep. They bleed red. Just like you do, don't they? They don't only have to take care of their own issues, but they also have to deal with the issues of the church, the body, the congregation. Yes, ma'am. Hannah?
John chapter 10, verse 1, and pretty much the whole chapter, it talks about Jesus as our shepherd. If not only to the elders but to the congregation, we know our shepherd. If we know who Christ is, then we're all going to be at that same spiritual. We're all going to have the same spiritual goal. We might not be there at the same time again, because each one of us have our own strengths and learning and how fast and slow we are. But when we have our goal, we have the shepherd. We know who he is, then we trust in him. We know who our elders are, our shepherds are. We trust in them because they follow that very same shepherd, because we all share that same goal again, going to heaven. And the very way that we trust in him, he trusts in us. And even though there's times where we fail, or times where we're ashamed or whatever, that he knows and what we do next matters, and we know that he understands where our errors and our faults are, so we can have that strength and knowledge to return back to the flock and to say, I am sorry for what I have done, meaning repentance or whatever be your strength, because the flock knows each other as well through way of mastering themselves.
So what Hannah is saying is, as much as the shepherd has to look out for the sheep also need to look out for the shepherd, for the elder. Yes, sir.
What Hannah said, in a way, caught my mind and answered your question. You asked, what does blameless mean? She used Jesus. Well, what was the one thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to do? They kept accusing him of things, you know, and nothing would stick to him. And that's the idea of blameless. that you will be accused, you will, your enemies will try to do you harm, but nothing sticks.
Let's continue reading. I'll let you make a comment here in just a minute, because we're down to 5 minutes. Verse 7 of Titus chapter 1. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And I think that all the comments that we made have been answered here. So the elder must be able to put that flame out when someone comes in. The gainsayer is someone who comes in and goes against God's word. We have to be able to fight against these darts. Ephesians uses the warfare. The Apostle Paul uses, he says that we need to put on what? The whole armor of God, because the battle is not against flesh, but it's what? It's the power of darkness. And so, so we see here that if we use these qualifications, and we must use these qualifications to make our choices, to choose these men to serve. And men, we have to be prepared to be of service to God. And not just men, but we as the body of Christ. And the other one I wanted to kind of answer, because it's always been in my mind, and it says that the elders, you know, have to give an account for your soul. And I ended up saying last week that, so how far do I go, you know, as far as being accountable for your soul? Is there a line at where we stop? Or am I accountable for your soul from now until death? Well, and we'll give you the answer really quick. We all have to give accountability for our own actions, don't we? So what scripture's saying there as far as the elders is, because the Apostle Paul uses this analogy, and he says, when I came to you, when he spoke to the elders in Ephesus, and he's and I'm using Acts chapter 20, when he calls the elders of Ephesus, when I came to you, I did not keep anything of God's word from you. I taught you the whole gospel of God. So when you're taught the whole gospel, it's not up to the elder anymore. It's on you. It's your responsibility. The scripture says, do not forsake the assembly. You've heard that this morning. If we forsake the assembly, it's not on me now. It's on you. Yes, sir.
In that Titus 1:6, it says, having faithful children, what learning to a man qualifies an elder, if none of his kids have obeyed the gospel.
I think it makes it very clear that he's not eligible to serve because his children, and because it continues to say that if you can't deal with your household, then how are you going to deal with the house of God and make decisions? So I think it makes it very clear. It says, you know, we're eligible. And we said that, you know, we can't all be the hand, you know. We can't all be the foot. We have to serve in our capacity. in the church. And this will be the last comment.
Another duty of the shepherd is sometimes the sheep will wander off the flock and get lost. And so the shepherd goes and finds it and brings it back to the flock. So spiritually, a member of the congregation could stray and stop coming, and then would the elder be responsible to go talk to them and have them see about them coming back?
Yes, but we can only do so much. Warn you, tell you, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to be at the assembly. Now it's on you. It's up to you to come through, because each one has to pay for their own actions before God. And so,
next week, can we just ask one question for the congregation? I know I work in the funeral business, and everything in scripture tells us elders, which is plural. You said we have to elect men. What happens in the event that you have like two elders serving in a congregation and one sees the other in death?
Okay, so she poses the question. Scripture talks about plurality, elders, not elder. There can't be just one, but I think we're going to leave this question. Think about it, read on it, and Brother Zach will help us answer that question. And I think Scripture is self-explanatory. If we just slow down and I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone's comments, but we'll continue with this lesson next week, Lord willing. Thank you very much for your attention.